Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. 2 nights ago, I completely lost it on EJ.
And honestly, I completely shut down.
The crazy part is it just started around a plate of food.
But it had nothing to do with the plate of food.
What was really happening was I was feeling overwhelmed. My nervous system was hijacked, and I needed EJ to come in and support me.
And my nervous system was telling me, get as far away from Tara as you can.
So today we're talking about why couples miss each other in the moments they need each other the most.
And how understanding your nervous systems can change the way you fight, repair, and reconnect.
So let's renovate. Welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast, where we help couples and individuals build the relationship skills they need so that they can have a relationship they deserve. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're just going to offer to you a slice of our life.
Because we love doing it.
Yeah.
And we're not perfect.
Of when conflict happens and what we learned and what we teach others. And so therefore we have to do it ourselves.
And it's just, we continue to struggle with this because it's such a hard dynamic when you see your other person struggling and suffering. Like, we kind of just want to stay away from it. It's really hard to lean into those moments. And so again, with all the skills we have, all of the tools, all of the work we've done ourselves and with other couples, we still get into these less often, but moments where we definitely missed opportunities to support each other. And then I get angry and then blah, blah, blah. But we repair it much quicker.
So we're going to dig right in. And first, we're just going to tell you the story. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
be curious to see if ours differ.
Okay. Well, atmosphere is important. So let me set the atmosphere. Okay. One is, we just got back from a lot of traveling. We went to see Tara's family. Mm-hmm. I got home for like 2 days. Then I went to LA with our son for a basketball tournament and my dad. Tara held down the fort by herself with a couple of kids. And so I think, we were both tired. Here's the other important thing. It was 11 p.m., right?
Yes.
It was 11 p.m. We were laying in bed. we had kind of like slacked off. We didn't go to basketball practice that night. And the kids, you know, we'd all kind of fended for ourselves with food. Well, our two youngest kids come into the room and they're like, I'm hungry. And my attitude is like, well, freaking go to the refrigerator and make yourself something.
And then our daughter said, no, I'm too lazy to do that.
So then Tara goes out and makes them food. And
a cute little snack board, peaches, apples, yes. Some nuts.
Which looking back, like, I feel like that was the beginning of the disconnection because like, I'm sure Tara was out there as like, you know, whatever she's feeling.
Well, I was like, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm exhausted. How did EJ, like I've been managing dinners for the last 4 days. Did he not even think about getting dinner for our children? I just needed a day of rest. Like I'm already, while I'm chopping up the freaking peaches. Yeah. I'm already like creating this story in my head that I have to do everything. That was it. My story was like, wow, I have to do everything. And it's my old story. If you guys have listened to our podcast, it's like the one thing that like gets me very hijacked and into my flight, fight, freeze is yes. I have to do everything. It's all on me all the time.
And in my head, I'm laying there in bed and I'm like, it's taking us like a freaking hour to watch a half hour show. These kids are freaking almost 13 years old. Let them feed themselves. Like I'm going in the opposite direction. Like they can handle this. And so
And just to really counter that too, like, I'm like, oh, I don't want them to go to bed hungry. And like, it doesn't look like they're really like motivated to go into the kitchen and get food. And I don't want them to go to bed hungry. So like my little childhood neglect is also playing into this.
Got it.
Yeah.
So then Tara walks in. She's made like this really beautiful little like charcuterie board. Like there's yeah. like peach slices and nuts. Yeah. And like, it's like pretty dang nice, right? So our daughter... I couldn't even see her, but I definitely know what happened. She gave like a look and made some snarky comment to her brother.
Yeah.
And Tara
literally dropped it on the
drops
bed.
It on the
bed.
She did not throw it, but it had a certain level of frustrating force.
It dropped
associated
on the bed
and goes back into the kitchen. And I thought she went into the bathroom and slammed the door because she was pissed. Mm. I'm kind of frustrated with our 13-year-old daughter, 12-year-old daughter. I'm like, dude, like, why couldn't you have been like appreciative? Like, that was like so mean. Your mom like went up and she like made that food for you and you were like totally snarky. Like, go apologize to her. But then Tara's out there for like at least 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I hear kind of like, and I'm just like, what is going on? So then Tara walks in the room. And in my perception, she goes off on me. I can't believe this. You didn't do anything. Like just goes off on me. I'm like, at first I'm like, why is she mad at me? And then I quickly go into like, I just like sort of check out. Cause I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like it's 11 o'clock at night and you're like ripping into me about this.
So, yes, I come back in and now I'm just like hot. Like, I'm like, Mia triggered me, like the eye roll. Like, even when I do everything, I'm still not appreciated. And then you see me stressed out and you're not coming, you're just still laying on the bed. So, you're not coming into the kitchen. You're not checking on me. You're not checking in, like, are you okay? What's going on, girl? I can support you. What do you need? So, I'm like angry that that's not happening. So I think I was angry at you for not coming to check on me. And that's when I went off, like, how could you not have planned dinner today? And like, this was my day of like, I just needed to like relax because I've been so overwhelmed and done, whatever. Yeah. All the things were said. Our poor son was like trying to caretake us so we wouldn't fight.
And I got defensive and I listed all the things that I had done that day that I felt like she wasn't recognizing.
Oh yeah, it was so not helpful.
It was where I was at. I was feeling like I was getting attacked and that I was told that I did nothing. So I know it probably wasn't helpful, but it was my reaction was like, no, I actually did this, and this
to defend yourself. Exactly.
Of course, to defend myself.
And this is where, so whether it's around the plate of food, a child triggering you, your partner triggering you, like this is where most couples, including us, relationship experts, marriage therapists, it's really hard, right? Because it could have looked so different. Again, we repaired it. We're okay. We're talking about it now. But I just want to normalize, like, again, whatever the triggering stimulus is, someone gets reactive. They go into their story of blame, anxiety. The other person starts to feel really defensive and criticized. And then everyone feels awful. Totally.
So, okay. So that's the story. Now we're going to sort of do like an autopsy because I think like most of you got to relate on some level to this. These are the type of like little things that like broadside us and surprise us, and we don't deal with them great. And they can end up like screwing up a day. They can end up screwing up a weekend, mm-hmm. right? So what was really going on? I'll start with just like, obviously, environment. It's 11 o'clock. We're both super tired. We're both sort of like done with the day. So neither of us is sort of in a space to deal with an emotionally complex situation. That's the first thing.
I think the biggest thing for me was we were just coming back to the house together for the first time in like 3 weeks. So there's no structure. There's no plan. So it's like very unstructured, unpredictable. And so it was like a transition happening that we didn't prepare for. Yes.
And then the feelings, I mean, so Tara, you're feeling in that moment.
The moment where I started to get...
when you start to get triggered.
I get very anxious and very overwhelmed, and I get disappointed and confused and sad.
And then when Mia gave you that look and you got the trigger really hit, what did you need?
I needed you to be like, hey, babe, what's going on? I needed someone to check in on me because I had just been in that place kind of over-functioning. Like, right, they should have done it their own food. That was like my first fail. But I needed someone to just come check on me because obviously I'm like activated.
Yeah.
But everyone's staying away from me. So then I feel like a monster. And then it's like my fault. And then I go into shame.
Yeah. And then for me, like, I feel frustrated because I know exactly what's happening. I know that these kids are asking more than Tara needs to give. I don't feel like we need to be taking care of them all the time. And then I feel resentful because I feel like that, like, I then have to just do it because Tara feels like she has to do it. And so I get resentful. Then when she gets mad, I feel blamed. I feel frustrated. I feel like uncomfortable. Like I like anger is something I'm learning to be at peace with, mm-hmm. From especially somebody I love. I can kind of handle anger from just like a rando, mm-hmm. but like from someone I love, anger is really overwhelming. And so the key point here,
yeah,
is both of our overwhelms, both of our like frustrations, the feelings of blame, that automatically kicks in, our nervous systems start to react. I mean, you can see it. Like, you can see because her nervous system was like, go away, mm-hmm. come back. Mine is just like...
And get it all out.
Yeah, get it all out. Mine is like this mixture of like just freeze. Like I just like... Just stare forward, and just so like, are you, my mind's telling me things like, are you kidding me? Like, this is freaking ridiculous. But really my nervous system is just like frozen, like just wait till it passes. And it reminds me of other times in my life of just like, wait till it passes. It always passes. Just white knuckle your way through it, right? And clearly, so that's what we said at the very beginning, yeah. as our nervous systems are in conflict, because hers is moving. It's kind of back and forth and like follow me, help me, like comfort me. Then back like, this is why, no. And then mine is just like, and there are moments where I push back, like I come out of that and then, but they're in defensive ways. I come back and I push back when she pushes towards me. No, I unload the dishwasher, I clean the dishes, I cooked our whatever, blah, 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 blah. So both of our nervous systems, we're not choosing to do any of those things.
No, we're having just such reacting. A fun evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the biggest obstacle for those in the moment is if we were going to have any chance, which we weren't able to till the next day,
yeah.
If we were going to have any possibility of actually finding resolution closer to the moment, it would have taken one or both of us to settle our nervous system, mm-hmm. and then move towards the other person instead of pulling away or coming in a conflict way. So like I could have, when she went to the kitchen, I could have like settled myself. That would have taken me being aware of the fact that I was unsettled, because I think sometimes, a lot of times in those moments, I don't even know I'm unsettled. I'm just so focused on her, like on whatever she's doing, that I don't bring the focus back to myself. So for myself, I could have settled my nervous system. Mm-hmm. I could have, then if my nervous system was settled, I could have realized, okay, actually she probably wants me to come out there and comfort her. Even if she doesn't accept it, that act will probably be the most productive thing I could have done.
Yeah.
If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
How about for you? If you were going to try to find a way that we could have more quickly.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's so hard because I get in that story so quickly. Like I'm so hijacked by it that I'm just like, I can't be like, oh, let me calm down and... You know, because I know what would have been great is like, hey, I've got to let you know, Mia just really hurt my feelings. Like I went into that place and started to feel like I was overfunctioning and I got really frustrated and I started to create this story of blame. And, you know, that would be great. I could have asked you for support. But I think like I have a really hard time because I get so activated coming down until you come in and seek me to make sure I'm okay. Because like when I'm alone in it, I feel like a lot of shame that I'm even in that place. So I feel like it's harder for me to pull out, you know, but what I did learn is like we didn't predict, plan, prepare for that transition. And for me, I'm like, had we had a better plan. Like I'm recognizing that I really have to have a plan.
See,
which
I like,
helps my anxiety.
I like predict, plan, prepare, but sometimes I'm just like, we also have to be like,
yeah,
generally prepared that there's no way to predict, plan, and prepare for every single event in our life, you know? And that like we have to develop and talk about systems.
Flexibility.
The ability to do it. Like that, like my struggle is if I do calm my nervous system and then I go out to try to comfort you, there's a decent likelihood you will still be angry at me. And I really don't know sometimes how to, like, I feel like I just have to sort of like white knuckle it until you're able to, like it almost like exhausts itself. Like, I just don't know. Like I'm still learning.
Right.
Because even though I might've soothed myself and then came in, I would only have so much bandwidth if you were still mad at me till I would get activated again. And so I can't, like, at this point at least, I can't just be a complete and total rock to it.
Yeah.
I need to know that entry point with you
But that's hard because here's the thing. I came back after the next day. I'm like, here's what would have been really helpful. So I tell you what I think would be helpful, but it's like until it happens and you're like in them, because you can I just share something? Like, it's really hard for you when I'm uncomfortable. Like,
it's really hard when you're expressing your uncomfortableness through anger.
Exactly. And so like, it's like most of the time, EJ, you do get defensive and avoid and withdraw. And so like, if you did come to me in the moment, which I know you're going to start working on, like, I don't know what it would, I feel like it would feel really like, oh, you love me and you're not scared of my anger and frustration. And that's all I really need to know because in my head. And for me, that plan, predict, prepare, like it's, you know, I have a lot of anxiety and a lot of OCD. And so I start to blame myself like, oh, we didn't have a plan. I should have had a plan. And so I do want to work on being more flexible. We can't plan for everything, you know? And that's just like, it's such a hard thing for me because I'm such a planner and organizer. And so like really working on like, hey, it's okay. Like more self-compassion. Like, so you didn't have a plan today and our kids were starving by 11. Like, that's not your fault, girl. So me working on self-compassion and flexibility, I think is going to help reduce my anger in those moments, which then hopefully will help you come join me when I'm anxious or angry instead of avoid it.
I mean, I think it's like, this is what makes it feel balanced is like, it's a joint effort. Like I'm really working on those moments where I want to, where like I go into, it's really, it's self-protection. I know like sometimes I feel like defensiveness gets like mislabeled, like, and you perceive it as like, I'm this angry. I think you even said something about like, you referred to the person in my life who's the angry person and you're just that person. I'm like, I'm not, I'm actually trying to not be that person. And that my, like, when I do, like I said at the very beginning, and I completely shut down, the shutting down feels to me like I'm keeping myself from getting really angry because I don't want to, but I'm working on like I'm, you know, at the end of the day, like it's a different time in my life. I'm safe. Like, even if you are really mad at me, like that, it's okay. It's okay.
You know? Cause I will say this, like people who don't have like a lot of like, I guess, childhood wounds and stuff. Like if you are just some partner that had like this secure attachment and like you probably would see me stressed out and be like, hey girl, what do you need? And it would just be a thing. But because we both come from a lot of childhood wounds where we walked on eggshells and stuff, like it's harder for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I see like, you know, I see other relationships in my family where someone's stressed out and it's like no one's getting triggered. They're like, let me help you. It's all good. That's, you know, not.
Yeah. I mean, but I know like, but
true.
Within a limit though, because I also know people who, that we've counseled who like don't have stuff. But eventually when those type of things happen, even just within their relationship over years, their tolerance for it, and not tolerance, like it's central nervous system for tolerance. Sure. That like when you face that like over and over, just like when you face me shutting down, you become less and less tolerant of it. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Can I say two things? Because I know that this just came to me really quickly and I know I'll lose it because of my menopause brain. But it's interesting because right in that moment, again, this was about a stupid plate of food and how my daughter reacted. But like my negative core belief is like, right, I'm alone. I have to do this all by myself. I can't count on anybody. And then for you, you have a huge trigger when people are angry, or it looks like anger.
Blame.
It's
anger. My fault.
Yes.
Whatever you're experiencing, you're saying is my fault.
And so like we have to get really, really good at like, how do I put my stuff aside right now? Not put it aside, but be like, how do I like go in and the two deepest wounds we have are the things that were triggered in that moment. Like I'm in the kitchen doing it alone. You're not coming to me. And I really wanted just you to come to me. And you're in the other room sitting alone, like avoiding the anger.
Well, I'm avoiding the fact that something else happened to you. And now it's my fault that you are feeling the way you're doing.
Yeah.
Or you're feeling. That's
the
trigger.
Deeper understanding. Because the more you understand that, like, I'll be able to be like, because I'm like, my anger is okay. Like, it's okay for me to be angry. I couldn't be angry when I was a little girl. Like, I can't not be angry when I'm an adult. Like, my anger has to be okay within limits, obviously, you know. But I also have to really have that compassion that, like, when you see anger, it's a very low likelihood that you're going to come in and support me. And then when you do, I'm going to be so, like, I'll know how much work that took for you to do. And, like, I think for me, when I'm like, hey, I know this is coming off as angry, actually, I'm just really anxious. And I know that, right, when I can explain that better to you, maybe that would be really helpful for you.
Well, I think a big healing thing would be, I think what would be really neat, and I think we've had micro moments of this, is when you do have that reaction, I come towards you and try to be kind and loving, and then you accept it.
Yeah.
Because then it shows me, oh, people can get angry, mm-hmm. and then you can come to them and they'll accept it. You know, they'll accept, yeah. they'll accept it. They'll be able to regulate themselves. And so, we're working through how to do it in the moment, which is the hardest thing. Give us credit. What we did was we tabled it. We kind of like low level code worded it. We stopped, we finished our show. We went to bed, we said our little prayer and we woke up in the morning and we took our daughter to her trip, and then we talked about it in the car, and it was still somewhat activating, but because we'd waited, our nervous systems had calmed from the night before, and in about 5 to 10 minutes, we processed through it, and we had a nice day.
And 2 days later, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And still having like our own mini therapy session around it.
Yeah.
And still growing from it, so...
So, I mean, I think what we realized is everything we've talked about. I realized that I shut down because she was angry, and I realized that she was tired and overwhelmed. And, you know, we found ways to communicate it with I statements, with like not blaming each other in the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I again, just when I overfunction, when I do more than I know I should be doing, I have to get really good at asking for support and for what I need.
Yeah.
Because it just plays into that old story that it's all on me.
So the question that we sort of pose to you at home is, you know, the next time your partner becomes reactive, the next time they push you away, the next time they shut down, could it actually be the moment that they need you the most? You know, and that's what we've come to, is like, this is each, for Tara, for myself, this is some of our biggest growing, and we need each other in these moments. We need to just understand what is going on for the other person so we can at least support each other through it, even if it's not always in that moment. But I'm aware of this. This is Tara's work. She's aware that it's my work. Mm-hmm. And it's important for you guys out there to know, to know what your partner's work is.
And the repair is simply like, man, I didn't like that I got so reactive and so stressed out. Like, I'm sorry that I come up so harsh and terse, you know. And your repair was like, I wish I could have been there for you.
I wish I could have come towards you and comforted you.
Yeah, and then we just learn. Yeah. And then we just mess it up again and talk about it on another podcast. But we also get it right, too.
And so the biggest theme from this is that, you know, we create emotional safety when our nervous systems know each other instead of react to each
other. Run from each other.
Yeah, yeah. And we, in that moment, our nervous systems were reacting to one another. Right now, like, I feel very close to you talking about this. This is when my nervous system knows you.
I'm like, it would be so cute if we just like created, this is such a great idea, a hat that says, it's just my nervous system. I'll apologize in a little bit. Isn't that so cute?
Yes.
And you just put it on and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's her nervous system.
Mirror nervous system.
I know you.
All right.
Well, you know, as always, we really appreciate when you give us a rating, give us a review, share us with a friend, a family member. That means a lot. We are passionate about doing this. We're passionate about helping people. We're passionate about helping couples. You know, please check out all the stuff in our show notes, all the different offerings that we have.
Yes. And as always, just thank you so much for listening, and take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same.